One, two, is this on?
And welcome to another bang.
Please, ban the basketball housewives.
Sad to see Dog the Bounty Hunter coming to an end.
Who the fuck? What the fuck? Why?
My comic book nerd brain cannot accept it.
That's the dumbest fucking premise for a show I've ever heard in my life.
Tim said he's about to log back on.
Okay. Yes, bands will make her dance.
We were talking about that crap all over a text message.
Man, that shit is so fucking horrible. I was like, what the fuck is this bullshit?
Bands will make her dance.
And I'm sitting there like, you know, because you know I'm ignorant to rap, I don't speak ratchet knees. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I was like, bands? What the hell does he mean, bands? I was like, oh, rubber bands of money. I see what you're saying now.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, it's like, oh. And I just figured that shit out today.
Yeah, that's been out for a minute, too.
Dude, like I said, I don't speak ratchet knees. Damn it. I don't speak that shit. I don't know what the hell they talking about. Some damn band. I thought that motherfucker was talking about a damn marching band. You know,
I was thinking band, like, you know, a rock, like a band on stage or something.
Yeah, I'm so old. We so old. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I was like, oh, that's what a band means? Like my homeboy Chris from Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
He was telling me, like, dude, a band, it means like $1,000. I was like, really? He's like, yeah.
If I can include this shit in the episode, all right, let me get Tim on there.
Okay.
All right.
As I lay me down to sleep, lay me down, I pray my soul is mine to keep. My soul can never step outside this bed, never into all the evil.
And welcome to another exciting episode of the Click Nation Podcast. I'm your host, Tim D-O-double-G. And tonight I'm joined by my brother, the Adam Black.
What's up, true believers?
And we also have Mr. Banff.
You know, the other day I was at my favorite restaurant. This guy walked up to me. He said, Mr. Banff, you're the greatest. He put his hand on my shoulder. I looked at him, I slapped him in the face and said, bitch, get your hands off my polo. And with that, evening, bitches.
Get your hands off my polo. And that Trick Daddy song?
Nah, that's just some shit I just made up off the fly.
That's a Trick Daddy line, I believe.
It probably is. At least Trick Daddy, you know.
Keep your hands off my polo. Kids.
Trick love the kids. You know, real Trick.
Yeah. Mr. Bant
loves. He loves kids.
What?
Mr. Banff loves the kisses.
We're trying to get you some props here, sir.
Oh, yes.
But yes, we are the Click Nation, and you are listening to the Click Nation Podcast. You can find us on our website, theclicknation.com. We have a Twitter account, at theclicknation. Like our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/theclicknation. We have a Google Plus site. Just search for The Click Nation. If you ever want to send us feedback or comments to be read on a future show, send that to theclicknation@gmail.com. Like us. Well, not yes. Like us on Stitcher. Add us to your favorites. And subscribe on iTunes. And make sure to leave us some reviews. We are also part of the Comic Related Podcasting Network. You can find our podcast and many other comic related podcasts on their website, comicrelated.com. And you can find my comic book reviews at the Pop Culture Network website. And that's run by Doug, aka Dirt Turner. And their website is popculturenetwork.com. So, fellas, I think tonight's show, since we're in the Halloween season, we're going to discuss some horror movies. Mr. Bamps.
Yay!
I was going to say that's Mr. Bamps' expertise.
That's right.
Yeah, if he had a G.I. Joe figure, it would be horror movie expert. That would be his specialty.
What?
Yeah. Since he's the master of all things movies, horror.
I am.
Horror is horror. His genre.
Horror, rah.
We're gonna.
That's right, damn it.
No reality chat tonight. Brandy won't be with us, but she'll be on future episodes. Check her out on. Make sure to follow her on Twitter at BLR_productions. Let's see. We're gonna skip the Pitskin Pick'em lead because I believe I'm still leading, and that's all that needs. That's all the. Everyone needs to know about that.
That's all that matters.
Let's see. First, Mr. Banff.
Yo.
What the fuck is out on Blu-ray?
Oh, shit. We gonna jump right into that, motherfucker?
Yeah, man.
Oh, yeah. That's what's up.
Before we have any other problems.
Hashtag technical difficulties.
Yes. You know, that's how we do. You know, we're an amateur operation here. Yes. You know what I'm saying? We do. We make it do what it do. But check it out, people, this week on What the Fuck Is Out on Blu-ray. Got, you know, this actually is a pretty decent week of for releases here. First thing on the menu is Tyler Perry's Medea's Witness Protection. No, we're going to skip that. No, we did. None of us seen that. Well, wait a minute. Adam Black, did you see this movie?
Oh, no, I haven't.
You haven't?
Surprise. No, I haven't. No, I'm surprised I haven't.
I am shocked at that. I really am.
I know.
Yeah, how do you avoid that?
I don't think Kirsten and the wife wanted to see it, really.
Interesting.
Yep.
Yes. You might as well go and buy it, because yeah, you're going to have to look at it, dude. It's kind of a prerequisite in your household now. Yeah. All right. Next movie is Star Wars, The Clone Wars, the complete series. And this is season number 3, ain't it?
I think four or five.
Four.
I think it's four.
Yeah. Saw that in the paper this past Sunday.
Yes. Yeah. So anyone who is a Clone Wars fan, go and pick that up. And I think this is the season where Darth Maul makes his triumphant return to the Star Wars universe.
It indeed is.
Yeah. So everyone should run out and go pick up a copy of that. You know, especially if you want to see actual good Star Wars stuff, unlike those prequel trilogies that we shall not talk about. Yes. Let's see. Next on the list is a movie that that probably none of us will ever see in our lifetime. Magic Mike was released today. It's Channing Tatum's stripper movie vehicle. Yes, right. He's a stripper, and he dances to Genuine songs, and it's like disgusting. But yes. And also, Kevin Nash plays a stripper. As well. I don't know why, but you know, hey, it's Kevin Nash. Maybe he's like the old school stripper who's like, you know, teaching the new strippers the game. I don't know.
Supposedly Nash, they wanted, you know, he was talking about working with the director, and he said that the director told him, you know, hey, you got a knee brace, go ahead and keep it on while you're doing the strip scenes, you know, it'll add elements to it. And basically it seems like he's a broken down stripper.
Not that Mr. Adam Black has seen this film. He read that somewhere. He read that.
Yeah, I'm not going to see this.
He read it somewhere. Yeah.
I have not seen it. Seen it.
Right. Anyway. Yes. Next on our list is, for those of you who do not know, you fools out there, this is the 30th anniversary of the movie Blade Runner, and there is now a new 30th anniversary collector's edition that is out. And actually, I personally think that this collector's edition set is actually relatively useless, because a couple years ago they released this is more than a couple years ago, this is probably about four years ago now, they released a Blade Runner Blu-ray set, and it's like 5 discs long, and it has every possible thing you could possibly want in this in a box set if you're a fan.
Yeah, I thought they did do that.
Yeah, so if you haven't already bought it on Blu-ray, go ahead and get this before Warner Brothers decides to snatch it off the shelf again, because that's what they do. But yeah, it's like, it's the same thing. It's like five different cuts of the movie. Mm-hmm. But it's a great movie. It's not for everybody, but I like it. Mm-hmm. And last but not least, this week, today, being released is Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. It's being released today. In 3D and in the regular 2D version. So, I have not seen that. I hear good things. And I hear bad things about this movie. So, I don't know. Did either one of y'all see this?
I didn't see it in 3D, though.
What did you think?
I enjoyed it. It was fun.
Okay. Well, there it goes. It has the Tim Dodd stamp of approval, bitches. Go out and buy it.
Don't try to break down all the historical facts that are probably wrong and
right.
Just watch the movie.
Yeah, just watch it. Enjoy watching Abraham Lincoln whoop some vampire ass.
Yeah. There you go, bitches. Go fucking buy the movie.
Yeah.
But yo, that's it. Go buy all that shit. Except for Tyler Perry.
Yeah. Never buy those.
And Magic Mike, even though Adam Black has not seen it.
I have not seen it, sir.
Quote unquote, not seen it.
Have not seen it, no.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Banff.
You're welcome.
And I forgot to mention this earlier, but we are recording on Tuesday, October 23rd, 2012.
Nice. That's right.
Yes, following the outline. At least to a point.
Barely.
Yeah, barely. I forgot that part, but next up we have some Click Nation news. This section of the Click Nation podcast is brought to you by the Adam Black.
All right. It's been a while since we did some news reports. One of the first things that that we definitely have to cover came up on the 17th of October, where the Superman, it came up basically a few weeks ago. Warner Brothers has won a key victory in their court battle over the rights to Superman. And I may need a little bit of your help with this, Mr. Banff, but basically, there's been a legal battle over the last few years between the estates of, the Siegels and Schusters, the co-creators of Superman. And basically, in a nutshell, because of this legal wrangling in favor of Warner Brothers, we can now expect more Superman. Basically everything can continue as planned as far as the next few years, as far as like Superman movies, and a key element to another story we have to report. Yeah. Next.
I guess I don't understand how they made a Superman movie a couple years ago that had nothing to do with this.
Well, I mean, because the rights came up after that movie. After that movie came out, the rights kind of, and honestly, they really didn't even come up. They just, the Siegels and the Schusters actually just, they got with this attorney, and I cannot remember his name to save my life, but they decided to, you know, sue to get what they were trying to do. They were suing to get the entire, just get the character back to the co-creators own it outright, and they could take it to whoever they want, do whatever they want to do with it. If they want to take away from DC, put them in Marvel, whatever they want to do, they could do it with it. The problem is, the reason why Warner Brothers won this victory is, now back in the 70s, right before the first Superman, original Superman movie came out, DC actually renegotiated, you know, like rights and royalties with Siegel and Schuster, because they were still alive, then, mm-hmm. you know, and you know, so they can get a little more money. They paid off medical bills for one of them, you know, and things like that. And then in the 90s, Siegel's daughter again came back and renegotiated rights again, the rights and the royalties again. And, you know, Warner Brothers did it, but they put a stipulation in that renegotiation of and that contract, saying that this is it. You cannot, there can be no more negotiations or renegotiations of the rights or any kind of monies or anything from here on out. This is it. This is all you're getting. Now, keep in mind, while these proceedings are going on, Warner Brothers is still paying these families actually millions of dollars yearly for this.
Mm-hmm.
Keep this shit in mind. No one's, and that's the crazy thing about it, no one's even saying anything about it, but Warner Brothers is still paying this family millions of dollars. I think it's right, a little over $1 million a year each family for these rights.
Mm-hmm.
So this attorney gets with them. They decide, you know, we're going to try and sue and get them, and get all the rights back, and, you know, do whatever we want, you know. But this judge ruled in Warner Brothers' favor. So, you know, personally, I think this is a good thing. You know, I know a lot of people always want to say, you know, the corporations are evil and all this stuff, this, that, and the third. But this honestly feels like, to me, a kind of a cash grab, kind of a greed kind of thing, where the attorney and the families are concerned, because they are getting a lot of money for these rights. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of money for these rights. And but now you all of a sudden you want to take everything and just run with it? What the heck? I mean, what kind of sense does that make? You know, so that's the gist. That's it in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm. The attorney's name is Mark Toberoff.
Yeah. And from what I understand, he has a movie company, and the real reason he is doing this and got with the families is because he wants to make a Superman movie himself, which is like the craziest, oddest thing ever. I don't know why, but hey, you know, whatever floats your boat.
Okay. We did talk about Tim ranted about DC Nation being pulled to January, correct?
Yeah, we got Chronicles episode 4 cool. of New York Comic Con, which is out now.
Alright. Stay tuned to that. Alright, so basically, with the Superman legal rights out of the way, Warner Brothers / DC is reported to have begun resurrecting the plans for a Justice League movie before the Avengers hit theaters this past summer. But with the success of the lawsuit, they have now gone ahead and pretty much ramp up those plans to try and get the movie out by 2015. Which means, if you're doing your math correctly, people, that will mean you will have a Avengers movie and a Justice League movie in the same year. At so, the same
well, not at the same time, but
close enough.
Yeah. Oh, the thought of that gives me goosebumps.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Is that sperm? Yes.
Yeah, and yeah, I like you
right now.
You have the varying opinions, of course. A lot of people excited. Some people, man, DC, great. Well, not DC, Warner Brothers, crazy. Going up against Avengers.
Why not? I mean, it is not like, more than likely, these movies are not going to be out in the same month.
Right. Trust me.
Well, yeah, they're not going to be out the same month, but they're like, you know, still it's competition they see it as.
Come on. There's more money to be there. I mean, they can split the pie, trust me.
Trust me. Trust me. They're both going to make a bunch of damn money, but the fanboys are going to make it a competition. You know, I mean, they did it this year with Dark Knight Rises and Avengers. And it's like, you know, I'm like, really, dude? Can't y'all just be happy that we're getting comic book movies on a regular basis now?
And hopefully they'll be good.
And hopefully they'll be good. I mean, fuck fanboys. I hate them.
They're fun to...
Even though that'd be us.
They're fun to snicker at, though.
Motherfucker, we are not fanboys in the normal sense of the word. We ain't sitting up there talking about being delusional, talking about, you know, actually like going after and like threatening people who like Dark Knight more than Avengers or like Avengers more than Dark Knight. I've read shit where motherfuckers are just like, you know, I'll fucking come to your house and eat your kid because you fucking Nolan Knight. It's like, what the fuck?
Oh, there's Nolan Knights.
Yeah, Marvelites and Nolanites. It's like, what the fuck? Are you serious?
I like
it's
it.
Like, wait, I was like,
I will show up at your doorstep.
I was like, wait,
and I will be dressed in a Batman suit.
And I'm going to rape your dog
for Halloween.
It's like, wow. You know, and it's like, dude, are you fucking serious? Are y'all? I mean, you that fucking hard up for attention? That you gotta say that you getting pissed off about a fucking comic book movie? Really? Bitch, you ain't getting paid for it? What the fuck? You care?
Bitch, yeah, I don't understand you.
Fanboys, sit the fuck down and enjoy the fucking movie.
But, and
there's my rant for the day.
I forgot what I was gonna say.
Well, I mean, you know. You know, nerds should be happy, period. Especially if you're a comic book fan, you're getting, you know, the pinnacle of both the ultimate superhero team movies in one summer. I mean, now I'm hoping that they take the Avengers approach and don't try to, you know, DC has a tendency to get in its own way and mess things up for itself. So that's why I'm hoping they don't do.
And they're going the opposite route of doing the solo movies first to lead up. I mean, there'll be Superman or Man of Steel, but besides that, it'll be straight to Justice League.
Yeah, I mean, you may have a chance that you have Green Lantern. Are they going to use Ryan Reynolds? Or are they going to get someone else? You have to deal with the fact that they're going to put in the Flash, Wonder Woman. And, you know, especially with characters like Wonder Woman, you know, that's very important for DC. You know, it's a fine line you got to walk, you know, because this is a movie that could lead to spin-off movies itself instead of just doing a sequel.
Right.
So, you know, it's a fine line they have to walk. So I'm definitely in favor. Otherwise, we'd be waiting until, 2018, 2019 for a Justice League movie at this rate if they did it the Marvel way.
Right. So I mean, as long as it's good, I'm fine.
Yeah.
If it's good, I'm fine. You know, I'm not gonna pass judgment until I start hearing, you know, directors and shit like that, you know. But we'll see.
So yes, we'll definitely have more news as it becomes available.
Yep, you know, we'll be talking about it, or you'll hear from us on Twitter about it.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Because that's what we do. The first round of cancellations has started. It started last week where NBC officially canceled Animal Practice. And basically the plan is to replace it with Whitney reruns sometime soon. So basically this puts Whitney, the series, back on Wednesdays in an 8 p.m. slot.
And off of Fridays, where it was originally going to debut.
Right.
So not only Friday, the other Friday show Community still had to wait and see.
In limp.
Yeah, where they're going to keep that, end up putting that one.
And in other news, well, we know that Revolution has been given a order for back 9 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And Go On and the New Normal with Guys and Kids and Chicago Fire's fate so far have been undetermined, and hopefully we'll find out more about those shows in the coming weeks.
Revolution, I recommend. It's pretty nice. It's like it's getting better. I'm only on I finished episode 3, I want to say. So I think I have like 2 more to catch up on.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, and other. In other comic book movie news, Mark Millar he's already hard at work on helping Fox with their Marvel movie properties, which so far are going to be the X-Men and Fantastic Four movies, with the next project being X-Men Days of Future Past. He only gave a little bit of a hint towards it. It's X-Men meets the Terminator, where you've got robots, you've got time travel, you've got superheroes, it's got everything in one film. So, of course, this starts speculation among the geeks and nerds and fanboys about, you know, does this mean we're going to have Sentinels, or we're going to get giant Sentinels,
gonna get Wolverine.
You know, yeah. You know, or are you going to get a... adamantium skeleton, you know, just laying around or something.
I'm psyched for it. Days of Future Past.
I really am. I mean, you know, and there's been talk of Franca Johnson. She's gonna make a cameo as Jean Grey in I think Wolverine and Days of Future Past. She's supposed to make a cameo.
Not like she's doing anything.
Right. I mean, she did Taken 2.
Oh,
so
yeah. She was taken again.
Yeah, she was taken. She was taken this
time.
The daughter. Yeah, she was taken this time. So, and then you know, Patrick Stewart's banting about saying that he's going to be doing some cameos here and there. But I'm kind of psyched for this. Now this whole shared universe Fox Marvel movie shared universe thing, I'm still kind of iffy about that, because for the life of me, I don't, and maybe I'm just being like a, you know, just a nerd, but why can't I need Marvel to kind of get with Fox and kind of work out a deal where, you know, you can
they can kind of
cross pollinate with each other. You know, you can have, you know, Wolverine show up in an Avengers movie or something like that. You know what I'm saying? You know, I think that,
yeah.
I mean, if you're going to open it up, you should open it up. You know what I mean? You know, just
don't just stop at their own properties.
Right. Just open it up. You know, it'll make a lot easier for everybody, I think. You know, I think it'll be a lot cool. I think it'd be cool for the fans, you know.
Yeah.
I see that never happening, but
Right. Oh, it's never happened. Yeah.
Because Fox, you've told us in the past that Fox kind of interferes a lot. So
yeah, I was gonna say they want to have control of their characters, how they appear and act, and all in the other studios, movies, and
Fox will fuck up a wet dream if you let them. Really, they would. I mean, they're getting better. They're getting better. So I can't fuss too much about them right now. You know, but they're getting better. We'll see.
That story.
Well, let's see. That movie will be out July 18th, 2014, and the production will start in January of 2013.
Yay!
Awesome. All right. You may know more about this, Larry, than I do. Spike Lee's Old Boy, I guess, remake. Basically, the release date is set up for October 2013. It's a remake of October 11th, 2013, and it's got its release by itself. It's going to be directed by Spike Lee, which will star Josh Brolin, Elizabeth Olsen, Charlto Copley, and Samuel L. Jackson. Do you know much about it? Because I've never seen it.
You've never seen it? I don't recommend that movie for everybody. That movie is a disturbing, disturbing film. It's a really, really weird revenge twist on the revenge tale, and I can't really go into it. This guy's captured by this unknown gangster person, whatever, and he's locked away for I forgot how many years it was. About 10-15 years, something like that. Anyway, he's locked away. He finally gets out. They let him out, and he just goes on this revenge thing, trying to figure out who the hell had him captured, and you know, he's knocking off all these people, and he meets this girl, falls in love with her, younger girl. He meets this girl, falls in love with her, they make love, and I'm not going to go any further than that, because it is, you have to see this movie, and I don't know how they're going, and I really don't know how they're going to, how this movie will translate for an American audience, because I really doubt they keep the actual ending of this movie, you know, because the ending is everything for this movie. The ending of this movie is everything for this movie, you know. And I don't know how they're going to do that, because it is so not an American film. not American sensibility. You have to see Old Boy to understand. I can't really. It's ultra violent, and the ending will knock you straight on your ass. It is just that crazy. It's a good movie, though, you know, but I don't know. I really don't know how this is going to work out. I really don't. I'm actually kind of sort of interested to see how Spike Lee's going to do it. So.
Okay. I'll try and look at the original first before I even go see this.
Yeah.
But they got good folks in it.
Yeah, they do. They definitely got good folks in it. Yeah, don't let the wife or the kid see this movie.
Is that disturbing?
Oh my god, yeah. It's not even so much as the violence that's disturbing. I mean, you know, we've seen, you know, ultra violent movies all the time. It's that ending. That ending is like a punch in the stomach. It is.
Okay. All right, I will check it out, and then I'll let y'all know what I thought of it.
Okay. Don't say I didn't talk, guys. Don't call me after you look at it. Don't call me talking about what the fuck. I won't hear it.
All right. This past weekend's box office saw something familiar for the month of October, Paranormal Activity 4. Was number one. It got $30 million over the weekend. The debut of Argo came in second. Argo in its, I believe, its second week. It earned for the weekend $16.7 million. Uh-huh. I still want to go see that. Taken 2. Fell to number three, and it got $13.3 million, followed by Hotel Transylvania at $13.2 million. It was tied for fourth with the debut of Tyler Perry in the movie Alex Cross, which in itself is a reboot of the James Patterson franchise. The Alex Cross character first appeared in Kiss the Girls and later in Along Came a Spider, played by Morgan Freeman. And this is kind of a disappointment. It only earned $12 million. For some reason, they have it tied for fourth, but it only earned 12. So it was fifth for the weekend. A very, very low expectations for that movie. So, it's definitely a departure for him because he's not playing any. This is like the first movie he starred in that he did not write or direct or produce. So it's definitely a departure for him. I guess his audience really didn't go out and see it.
Oh,
I mean,
whatever. I mean, you know, with that type of character, you know, for James Patterson fans, you know, it's such a cross section. I don't know if, you know, maybe it just didn't appeal to everybody, or maybe people thought one thing and didn't go see it. It's a shame.
Yeah. Either that, I mean, I don't even remember seeing that many commercials for it or anything, so maybe that's it. Maybe they just didn't promote it enough.
To my Alex Cross?
Yeah.
I saw a good bit of commercials.
It's got Tyler Perry, and then it's got the dude from Party of Five in it.
Yeah.
Fox.
Yeah. Well, I guess the guy from Lost, I guess.
Yeah, Father, everybody.
Yeah, for the younger crowd.
You are crazy.
Alright. The next, some more TV news. Arrow from the CW did get picked up for a full season. I've only seen the pilot so far. I liked it. Have you seen more than one episode, Tim?
I've seen all two.
Okay.
Yeah, it's only been two so far.
Okay. I didn't catch the second one.
It's a good show there. They're not wasting any time with the co-stars from the Marvel, the DC Universe. Deadshot will be on tomorrow night's episode. And we had whoever the chick was.
He had a big Easter egg in the first episode. I saw that.
The Deathstroke mask. He'll make an appearance later on. And Huntress will make an appearance. And China White, was the one on the second episode.
Yep. So far it's been its number one most watched show since 2009 when the pilot debuted. And it only had a small drop in percentage from viewers from week one to week two. So it's good stuff. Good to see comic books, you know, on TV. It just seems that DC has had a lot more success than Marvel. Hopefully, with S.H.I.E.L.D. coming up eventually, that will change.
Yeah, we have Arrow, and then we have S.H.I.E.L.D. next year.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
You know,
and the Hulk series is not happening. I've just read something about that. The Hulk series will not be happening. I kind of figured it was going to happen. I mean, let's face it. They want to make a Hulk movie now. So
yeah. So we're definitely going to, hopefully Marvel can get it together.
And yeah, they got the movies down pat. So
yeah.
Focus on TV shows next. I think S.H.I.E.L.D.'s a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
I'll watch it.
You know, you don't have to do a whole bunch of special effects and all that kind of stuff.
I mean, Whedon's going to be over it.
Yeah, he does good work.
I'll watch it.
What next you got?
Alright, this was breaking. Well, this was from Monday, the 22nd. New Regency has made a deal to finance and distribute the movie Assassin's Creed based upon the Ubisoft video game. And Michael Fassbender is now attached to star in the movie. And there you go. I think, Michael Fassbender, I'm definitely want to see him, in a movie. He's a pretty good actor.
Yeah, I've never played the game, but that's one of those franchises I kind of want to get into on the 360. I guess they were available on PS3 too, but...
Yeah. Wasn't it always on PlayStation?
Honestly, I don't know. I've kind of been out of the video game.
I don't know either.
But if Matt Fassbender in it, it should be at least well acted.
Oh yeah.
No release date for it yet, but you know, probably within the next couple years at least. So probably by 2014. All right, I read this morning. I'm not real sure about what's going on in this, but apparently Bleeding Cool posted a story from an actor in a Iron Man cosplay. He was hired by Marvel to play Iron Man, like cosplay, I guess, at conventions or something. And I'm waiting for Bleeding Cool to load the freaking page. But anyway, he released some plot details of Iron Man 3 and Thor 2. Basically, that's what I'm trying to figure out. But when I saw it, I read it, I'm like, I don't know if this can be possible. I remember, I'm still waiting for the page to load, but I remember offhand about Iron Man or Thor 2. Basically, it has to do with these dark elves that are coming back to basically reclaim Asgard. Thor has to go into another dimension and drag along Jane Foster.
She gets possessed by something. I read something from the show too.
Yeah. She gets possessed by a dark elf. And
yeah,
something or other.
And basically, Thor has to go into this dark world. The only one that has ventured to this dark world is Loki. So he has to now release Loki from prison in order to, go into this dark world.
Keep going.
And
there's more, I believe.
Yeah, I'm trying. Can you get in there, Tim? Because
I'm just doing it off of memory, but supposedly during the battle at Asgard or something, Thor's mom gets killed, and I guess I can actually try to see if I can open it.
Yeah, because Bleeding Cool's always slow on my phone. I try to load it.
Problem.
Problem with the phone?
That's nice. Okay, Thor 2. One of the things that happens during the Asgardian attack is that Thor's mother gets killed, so it becomes like a vengeance thing. And they were keeping very tight-lipped about what actually happens with Loki. You don't know whether he redeems himself or he's still the bad egg.
I think this will be a redemption for Loki somehow. Maybe do some sacrifice so Thor can, get out of the dark world or something.
This is my thing, though. This is why I don't really put that much faith in this.
Mm-hmm.
Because if this dude was just hired to do cosplay shit at conventions, he would have no access to Marvel script in a Marvel movie. He just wouldn't have access to that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, I think this is just some shit old boy just making up off the top of his goddamn head. Trying to get some kind of attention.
Yeah, at least it's not outrageous, thought out.
Story. I mean, right. I mean, and if you listen to it, it sounds plausible.
Yeah.
But like I said, there's no. I mean, he's if Marvel hired this dude to go to conventions, dress up as Iron Man, they are not gonna give him a script.
Never know. Maybe I could get a script.
I mean, if that's the case, hell, I mean, I could be able to just, hey, can I get a script for Thor 2? Like,
Hook a brother up.
Can I get a script for Iron Man 3? Thanks. Can I get Robert Downey Jr.'s autograph on that guy? Thanks, man. Appreciate you. I mean, that's why I don't believe that. I think that's just some bullshit this cat just coming up with.
Yeah.
But today, the trailer for Iron Man 2 was released, and needless to say, it's a lot.
Was it?
Iron Man
it
3.
It was Iron Man 3.
Oh, Iron Man 3. I'm sorry. Iron Man 3 was released today, and needless to say, it was a lot darker than I expected. It really puts the hero in a perilous situation, it seems.
Yes. They took the Christopher Nolan route. We're gonna Dark Knight the fuck out this bitch. Look at this.
Yeah, bitch.
Dark Knight.
I don't think it's that dark.
You know, I mean, you know, it could. You know what? It probably is not that dark. It's just they really edited this trailer. You know, kind of. That's how it ended up being.
Yeah. I mean, it's just he's being attacked, so that's how it's gonna look if you're being having a personal attack on you from all sides.
True that. But yeah, it looked cool.
You got to see the new Iron Man suit, you know, in action, you know, in the movie. So and you saw the Iron Patriot armor.
Right. And there are a couple of scenes where the Iron Man arm is like, for some odd reason, after Tony.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's a dream or the suit now has a mind of its own, you know, with the whole extremist thing, you know, but it was way cool.
Yeah. And you saw glimpses of the Mandarin. You also saw Guy Pearce and his role for the movie. So it looks to be pretty awesome. My next story is Lorenz Tate and Nia Long have been at it for season 2 of one of Tim's favorite shows, House of Lies.
Yay! Oh,
cool. Way cool.
At least for Nia Long.
Yeah. I mean, you know, hey, Love Jones is back together again. That's awesome.
Yep.
Lorenz Tate will play Marty's, Don Cheadle's younger, less ambitious activist brother, while Long will play a fellow consultant and former classmate of Marty's who proves to be a formidable foe.
Does it say when it starts back?
January 13th.
Okay.
Come next year, 2013. So it won't be too long for it.
Thank you, sir.
All right, the last news topic, and then we'll get to our main topic, was Tim put in Marvel's Next Big Thing live blogs all week long.
Yeah, so Marvel, the past couple Fridays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, they've been doing live blogs on their website, talking to different creative teams on some of the Marvel Now books.
Mm-hmm.
And this week, Monday through Friday, they're going to have a live blog every afternoon at 3 o'clock. So on Monday, they talked to the Thor creative team of, I can't think of the...
Is it Jason Aaron?
Yeah, Jason Aaron and the artist whose name is kind of odd.
Eastside Ribbit.
Ribbit, yeah.
He's real good. I like his... He's real good. I like him.
So yeah, he's got the three different Thors going. The young Viking Thor, Thor of the present, and Old King Thor, who has lost an eye and an arm, and when he goes into battle, he replaces his arm with a arm from the Destroyer.
Oh, cool.
I haven't seen a visual of that, but that just sounds kind of nice.
Yeah, badass.
Yeah, so that was that one, and the main villain is going to be this the God Butcher.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going around killing gods, and like I said, has some time travel involved with it, but we have to see if all the different Thors get to meet each other.
Okay, that sounds pretty cool.
There's that, go ahead.
I need to start reading comic books again in general.
Marvel Now!
Oh shit.
He's yelling.
I know, right?
I think you have to that exclamation mark after now, you have to scream it. And today they had the Indestructible Hulk team of Lynn Francis, what's his name? Francis Yu, the penciler?
I don't know. I'm not familiar with that.
Lynn Francis, the dude that used to do the...
I cannot pronounce his first name, but yeah, it's Lineal. I think it's Lineal Yu.
Yeah, him and Mark Waid is the writer.
Yeah.
So they talked about Hulk as Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Ah. Uh-huh.
So yeah, that's why he'll be working with Maria Hill and I think Colson's appearance. And the robot, the flying head robot that has been seen in images, that's like, I think, S.H.I.E.L.D.'s way of keeping an eye on them.
Hmm.
They use Thor as like a cannon that they can point at a issue and say, like, go get it.
Oh, okay. So they get Hulk basically is there to clean up stuff.
Yeah. And Wade's going to write Banner as, instead of him trying to rid himself of the Hulk, he's basically come to grips with it and just tries to control the Hulk.
Okay. The movie. Gotcha. Yeah,
he's going to be more of a, you see more of his science stuff with Banner.
Yeah, basically the Hulk will use more science.
Banner will.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. You'll see more science in the book with Banner. You know, he never gets to show off his scientific side.
Gotcha.
And he's going to have a science team that I think the readers will meet in issues 3 or 4. I forget which issue it was.
Mm-hmm.
And each member of the science team has like a unique ability or talent, but they all have like a secret like deep inside of them.
My baby's got a secret.
Ooh.
Something coming. I'm sorry.
How's it go? Something's coming over.
Something coming over.
Who sings that?
That was Beavis and Butthead, Justine. Madonna's actually the one who made that song.
My baby's got a secret.
She's got a secret. That shit was funny as fuck. Oh my god.
Yeah.
So that's the Marvel Now live blog. What they call it, Marvel Next Big Thing. That's what they call them.
Okay. So we gotta check them out.
Yes.
To figure out what's going on.
Oh, shit.
So, sit back, relax, and when we get back, we will jump into our main topic for tonight, which is horror movies.
Yay!
Stay tuned.
Sweat and
And we're back. And while we were on break, Mr. Banff almost had an aneurysm.
More like an orgasm.
Yes. Fill us in on what brand spanking news you got while we were on break.
Okay. Whilst we were on break, I'm sitting here looking at my phone on my lovely Blu-ray.com website. Go there. And on January 15th, 2013, this company called Anderson Merchandise will be putting out the complete animated series of the Jackson 5 on Blu-ray. And if you know, this is a series that's never even been on DVD, but it's not there putting it out on Blu-ray. Wow. And I will so be buying this.
Okay. Yes. How many seasons was it? Just one?
I cannot remember. It's four Blu-rays, so it was pretty long. Never mind. Since everybody likes to use Wikipedia, I will use it now.
Awesome. Four DVDs for a Blu-ray. That's a lot. Four DVDs, that's the regular season for most.
Four Blu-rays, that gotta be like a lot of bonuses.
It could be just the one season. They probably got a bunch of them,
live performances or something.
Oh, well, let's hope.
Yeah. I'm surprised they don't have any news in the article, or maybe it's more news as it becomes available.
Yeah, it looked like it just got, I promise you, that just got updated, because I've been on that damn Blu-ray.com all day, and it just got, it just got put up, so. Oh, yes, I forgot Rankin and Bass produced that. Let's see, let's see if I can figure it out. But yeah, I'm really fucking excited for that.
Good. I know you're the Michael Jackson fan.
I am. 23 episodes. So it stayed on from September 11th, 71 to September 1st, 1973.
Okay, 2 years. So. Okay.
Cool.
Yeah, buddy.
I will add that to this.
Oh, yeah.
So, horror movies. Since it's coming up to Halloween, by the time this episode drops, it'll be the week of Halloween, we thought it would be a good opportunity to discuss different horror movies and different, the franchises, the ones we liked, some we didn't like or didn't understand, and we're going to try to give a top three horror movies or franchises we enjoyed, and then top three that we didn't like or don't understand their popularity.
Yes.
I guess explain to the listeners why you enjoy the horror genre so much.
I think the reason why I enjoy horror movies so much is because, I think I'm probably because I'm like evil myself on the inside. I mean, bullshit. I think we all have this deep down fear of the unknown. And right. The fact that we look at a horror movie, we're scared out of our minds, but we still know we're actually safe, safe in our homes, and so I think that's why most people enjoy it, and I enjoy it too. I think that's really it. I think we all like to be like frightened, because you feel more alive till you actually like get dead, So I think that's what.
Okay. So, I guess if what would your top three over every other horror movies? What the top three would be?
Wow. This is an extreme. I told Puff I should have said top five.
You can make
it
five if you want movies. To.
Okay. Cool. I'll make top five. So my top five
starting from 5 all the way to 1. Number 5 on this list will be John Carpenter's The Thing. It's a 1981 star, Kurt Russell, and Mighty Keith David, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It is a remake of the original movie, The Thing, that was released in the 50s, if I remember correctly. And it is an interesting kind of allegory for something getting your body and taking over, kind of thing. I remember seeing this as a kid and being just absolutely like scared out of my wits, because the movie is essentially, you know, it's just about this alien who crash lands on Earth, the Swedish colony in Antarctica, finds the alien, falls out, and it can replicate living beings perfectly. You don't know who's an alien until it attacks you or you attack it or whatever. So that's the movie, that's the scariest part about the movie. You don't know who's an alien, who's not an alien. And the ending is rather ambiguous, because it's kind of like, you know, the last two people who are left are, you know, spoiler alert, last two people who are left are Keith David's character and Kurt Russell's character. And you don't, and they're just sitting, and you don't know if either one is an alien or they're not an alien. You know, but it's a very good movie. It's kind of gross. It's gross.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, especially the part where dude's head comes off and it grows spider legs and crawls across the floor.
Wow.
Yeah. It's okay. Number 4 is the original Halloween. John Carpenter again. The movie that they say this movie invented the slasher flick. I kind of would agree. There's a couple movies earlier than that were slasher films, but the slasher genre as we know it today was started by this movie. Stars Jamie Curtis in her first role. Everybody's seen Halloween. Doesn't need me to go into it. Yeah. Let's see. Number 3 will be the original Alien. Like I said, once again, directed by the great Ridley Scott. I'm pretty sure everybody, all our listeners, seen Alien except for Tim, who has not seen any of the Alien movies.
Yeah.
And probably going to get that for him for Christmas, because it's like real cheap now. Alien, you know, like I said, it's basically what it is. It's a movie about an alien that kills people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the most effective part about this movie is the use of, you really don't even get to see the alien's full body until really the end of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
The ship that they're in is kind of claustrophobic, so you know it's real tight, and the aliens hiding everywhere and like stamp to people's hearts on and shit. And then of course the grossest scene I think I've ever seen in a movie, and it still grosses me out. It still bothers me every time I see it. It's the chest burster scene.
Ah, yes.
I've seen this movie so many times, but every time I see that scene, it makes my skin crawl, still, to this day. But yeah, love the film. Everyone should go see it. Everyone should buy it. Number 2. Actually, number 2 is a movie studio instead of a particular movie. It's anybody who's a horror fan knows of Hammer Studios. Hammer Studios is a British movie company who didn't start out doing horror, and they did move other movies other than horror. They did a lot of action, adventure, romance, and did some musicals. But their horror movies is what stood out as far as, you know, what the studio was popular for. And their horror movies for the time, you know, late 50s and 60s and early part of the 70s, they were known for the overt sexuality and the overt kind of violence that you've never seen in, like, cause they, in certain, like, vampire movies or Frankenstein movies or whatever, they revitalized, they took the Dracula legend, the Dracula movies and totally rearranged it and made it for the audience of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they made very, very, very high quality, you know, good horror movies, you know. And every time I see a Hammer horror film, I will actually stop and look at them because I just love the look of them. I, you know, love the acting in them. You know, it's good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Number one is The Exorcist. Still,
I knew that was going to be your top favorite of all time.
You know, I mean, I love that movie. It's like my favorite horror film of all time is The Exorcist. It's, you know, a lot of people, you know, a lot of younger generations, they see it now and they say, oh, it's boring, it's this, it's that, it's actually kind of funny in some parts, but, you know, you have to imagine being a kid that's like 8 years old in the early 80s and watching this on like HBO and just like, you know, oh my God, I've got to go to church because if I don't, I'm going to get possessed by Satan and I really don't want to be. You know, but yeah, it's still, like I said, you know, there are some things in it that are funny and that are comical, but, you know, I mean, it's still, you know, if you get in the right mood and watch that movie, it will still freak you out. I mean, and there's certain things about it now, like, it's not even the stuff dealing with the, you know, dealing with Reagan, the little girl being possessed. That freaks me out. It's other things in the movie, other characters in the movie that kind of freak me out now. But yeah, so that's my top five. Yeah.
Okay.
Everyone should buy all those movies. Buy them all.
Or at least watch them. I'm pretty sure like some movie channel is running a marathon right now because I know AMC is doing all the Friday the 13th movies. So you know, definitely run out, check them out. We did lose Tim, dog. So we'll keep on going. We've been having technical difficulties all night, so hopefully we can get him back in before we end it. Now, here's something we didn't have on the topic before in our original outline and email, but I noticed that, you know, I've noticed what maybe in the past 10, 15 years that there have been lots and lots of remakes for horror movies.
And most of them are not good at all.
Yeah, I mean, it just goes back to, you know, people say, well, that movie made money, let's re-release it. And that's pretty much it. Do you think, are there any of those remakes that you think were actually were good movies?
Honestly, I cannot name any of the only remake that I thought that was actually pretty decent was the Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake.
Was that the one produced by Michael Bay?
Yeah. And the only reason that one was good is because the original movie was so fucking shitty. But I know there's a listener that's listening and that I'm gonna catch hell for saying that, but I really don't give a fuck. That movie's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, I mean, I cannot think of a remake recently of anything that was. I mean, the Friday the 13th remake was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
The Nightmare on Elm Street, you know. You know, the Nightmare on Elm Street, well, I kind of give that one a pass because I like what they were trying to do and explain Freddy's backstory.
Mm-hmm.
That they really needed to, you know, because some things are better left unsaid. we all know how, you know, we all kind of figured what happened.
Was that the fact that Freddy, they never said before what he did to those kids in the original before
right,
he got killed?
In the original, it was implied that he was molesting the kids before he killed them.
Mm-hmm.
But in the remake, he was just a child molester. He didn't even kill the kids. He was just a molester. You know.
Okay.
But I mean, I can't think of anyone that there was a remake of. If anybody's ever seen John Carpenter's second feature film movie called The Fall, excellent ghost story, just actually real creepy ghost story. I might look at that night before I go to bed. They did a remake of that, and it was terrible. I can't think of any of the remakes that were like, you know,
good.
That are good. I mean, it's like some things should just be left alone. This was the best time. You know, even the remake of Halloween. Rob Zombie. I think Rob Zombie was like the worst choice for a director for that movie because Rob Zombie's horror movies are always violence for violence sake. There's nothing, and then the characters that are in the movie, you really don't give a damn about even the characters at all. You don't care if they get murdered or killed or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm just not a Rob Zombie fan, I guess, but
Yeah, his movies, from what I understand, you know, I've talked with some people before, and his, they are acquired taste. I'll put it like that.
They are definitely there.
All right. Now, here's the thing with horror movies, and I will confess, I'm like Tim, I'm not really much into horror movies because I miss basically the entire generation of the 80s horror movies, the Friday the 13th, the Halloweens, and the Nightmare on Elm Street. I skipped all of those. I didn't really watch them. I came into it in the 90s. So in the 90s, it was more of these sophisticated, supposedly horror movies like your Scream, your I Know What You Did Last Summer. And that's when I saw it, and I never really considered those horror movies. I mean, they're good for what they were, but they weren't really horror movies to me.
Right. You poor children.
Huh?
They say you poor children.
Yeah, I know.
You know, my mom didn't catch him, and going out looking at TV.
Yeah, after a while, I mean, I'm fairly certain my mom didn't care, but, you know, we really didn't watch them, so we never got into them. We were more into your action movies and that type of thing, so. So
you know, that's the joy of growing up with a nerd for a mom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she had me looking at all kinds of shit, man.
Okay.
She had me looking at the shit that she liked horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
She liked horror movies, she liked sci-fi. I got all that shit from her. It's her fault. She's a nerd, and it rubbed off.
Do you think that the Scream and, you know, those type of movies that I just named, Scream, I Know What You Did Last Summer, and those type of movies, do you think they ruined the genre, or did they help it for a little while?
I don't think they ruined the genre.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Scream was essentially a parody of, like, all horror movies, you know. It was a parody within a parody of itself.
Mm-hmm.
I Know What You Did Last Summer was your typical kind of teen horror film. You made that movie in the 80s, and it would have been the exact same movie.
Yeah.
What I think kind of ruined the genre was the torture porn movies, like the Saws, the Hostels, the Rob Zombie movies, stuff like that, I think, ruined American horror movies. It took storytelling and the character, you know, any kind of feelings you have for your main characters out of the out of the movie, and it focused everything on how absolute, how violent and how over the top gory can we make this movie to they're not even scared, they're more gross out kind of things, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that, I mean, especially the Saw movies and that type
of
thing.
They're not even really scary, it's just more how gross can we, what crazy shit can we put in here to kill this person and make it as gross as it possibly can be.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's, you know, that's what I think killed American horror.
Mm-hmm.
I think that America should really look at now the Koreans and the Japanese on how to make a horror movie. Because
we did have that a lot in the 2000s and the late 90s. What was that movie called?
We had The Ring.
That was
We had Grudge, was the remake of a Japanese horror movie. That's the kind of stuff we need to pay. I mean, because you know, you in those movies you care about the characters, the storytelling is excellent, but and they're scary as hell. You know, they're just, I mean, and it's this overall kind of creepy feeling in the entire movie when you're looking at them, you know. But that's my opinion.
Okay. All right. Well, let me see if I can add Tim back. He's back online. Here we go.
I'm back online.
I added in one other question, Tim, that Mr. Bamp took care of about the horror remakes, and we did a little discussion on the genre and what may have ruined it and that type of thing, you know, as far as today. The last part that we'll discuss is the we'll go five if you feel like it, Banff, as far as the top movies and or like franchises as far as horror movies go, what type franchises that, you know, may have done more than one film, what would you recommend or what are your favorites?
Oh, that was direct to me?
Yes, that was you.
Oh.
I definitely know Tim doesn't really have to.
just listen. You know what? I hardly ever recommend. I don't like recommending an entire franchise to people,
mm-hmm.
because usually after the first or second movie, the franchises start to suck.
Oh, okay.
So Nightmare on Elm Street, I will recommend maybe the first four.
Mm-hmm.
After that, leave it alone. With Halloween, I would recommend, I would recommend actually like maybe the first three of Halloween,
mm-hmm.
and then Halloween and Halloween H2O. Other than that, we'll, Friday the 13th, the first one and the second one and the third one. That's just five. I was about as far as you need to go in that series. I like to recommend single horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whole franchise, you know, but there are people who they love the franchises.
Yeah. No, not for you.
Not
for me. Okay. Is there a horror franchise that you don't understand why it was so popular, or even a movie? Saw franchise.
The Saw franchise. I don't. And like I said, I think it's just because of my distaste for the horror movies. I mean, there's nothing in those movies that is appealing to me at all. And I don't understand why people want to see them. Franchise. Huh?
Don't you call them torture porn or something?
Yeah, torture porn. You know, I mean, I'm not a fan of that stuff. You know, I don't understand that. That's one series. Like the Paranormal Activity series, I don't, I don't, I don't, I don't like the found footage movie anyway. I hate that shit. I hated that shit when Blair Witch Projects first came out.
Oh, yeah.
I fucking hated that movie. That movie's fucking terrible. That movie is... I remember reading that movie and sitting there looking at it, and I was like, oh, it's so scary. And I looked at it, I was like, this shit is not fucking scary. It's a bunch of goofy-ass kids in the fucking forest getting taken down by a fucking witch we never fucking see, and then the chick is, like, staring into the camera and snot coming out her nose, and she's crying, talking about how fucking scared she is. It's like, you know what? This is bullshit.
Yeah.
I don't like found footage stuff. I give you past Chronicle, because Chronicle is actually kind of cool, mm-hmm. You know. But, yeah, found footage shit. I don't like those because, you know, I kind of like to have music with my horror movies.
Yeah.
You don't get that found footage.
Yeah, no score.
Yeah.
Okay. I will say the creepiest one, and, you know, it helps when this guy, Mr. Vamp, has like a Supreme 5.1 audio home theater kit when we were watching the remake of Amityville Horror.
I forgot all about that. That's the one. That's like one of the few remakes that I actually like,
mm-hmm.
And much more than the original. I forgot all about that. Thank you. Bring that up.
Oh yeah. There that scene where he was the kid was in the bathroom.
Yeah.
That was probably like the one time that I've ever watched a movie where I'm at home and I just got, I jumped up and like, oh shit.
Exactly. Like, what the fuck is that, a damn dead Indian? Oh.
Yeah, that was like the creepiest thing I ever seen in my life. But,
if you want a scary movie.
But yeah, But yeah, I need to watch more horrors. At least as far as horror movies, I need to watch more of the classic horror movies. Definitely, you know, the original Nightmare on Elm Street, the Jason movies, and that type of thing. Definitely got to give them a shot.
That's cool. Oh my God.
Mhm. All right. Well, I think we've come to the end of our discussion. Anything else that you would like to add, Mr. Bamp?
What I want to tell everybody is to please just take time out, you know, especially the younger generation, you know, take time out and look at, you know, some of the older horror movies, you know, the stuff that kind of started off. I mean, even going all the way back to the 30s, you know, look at, you know, the original Dracula, original Frankenstein, original Wolfman. I mean, true enough, you may be bored with it. They're black and white. You may find kind of funny, but, you know, you have to, before you can, you know, call yourself like a movie fan or a movie aficionado or whatever, you have to have kind of a base of, you know exactly where stuff you're looking at and stuff that you like, where it comes from. So, you know, take time out. Just look at the classics and, you know, and who knows, you may be lying, you may, you know, like it. So that's my advice.
Okay. All right. Well, nice. With that
synopsis,
we're finally at the end of this technically difficult show.
Before we end it, I have a lot of feedback to read.
Okay. Awesome. We love feedback.
Yes. And the, where is it? That feedback. All right. First up, we have Codette Delta. He had a post on our website, his first ever as a guest blogger. DC, don't ban for BS, I think. And so go check that out. He says, this is on our part three. He had a comment for our part three, the comic book movie experience. Says, Adam Black, you're not right for giving us that horrible ending of the 100 best Batman and Robin. I will say one of my favorite superhero movies was Batman Returns. It was good.
No.
No.
That's so far called that.
At this point, I was only 3 or 4 when it came out. so that might explain it.
Yeah.
Mm. It,
yeah, we're, then, that much older?
Yeah. We won't comment on that.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about that.
He said, you know, the penguin was mutated. We should give a hand clap for John Leguizamo for his role as
the clown.
Wow.
Yeah, the clown in Spawn.
Okay, good performance. Thank you.
Yeah. And, what else?
Duranus 3000 on Twitter, aka John, our West Coast Click affiliate, says, finally got around to watching Prometheus. The excitement kind of fizzled by the end. Sad face.
It is definitely not what people thought of. I give you that.
Yeah.
He says, Banff was pretty much spot on with his evaluation of Prometheus. At the end, I also want to know what the fuck it was that I just looked at.
Right.
That's all he had to say.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God they greenlit a sequel. God, I'm sorry.
Just to see what...
I need answers.
You need answers.
The answers.
See, Z Pro Player 1 says, why... I should have wrote down what post this was in reference to. It says, wow, sound good. Going to be awesome to see them all together. I'm trying to think what he would be referring to. What have I posted recently? I'm sure it's probably one of my comic book posts.
Okay.
Yeah. Roddy Cat. Okay, Roddy Cat. I know, replied to the Uncanny Avengers, I believe. That's Roddy Cat on Twitter. So it's nice read. We have to look into this. This also made me think of a couple of things. One, Red Skull as the villain off the bat seems kind of an easy pick given, but makes sense in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Red Skull's always held Aryan beliefs, but they've long since been downplayed. Even though he's never tangled with mutants before that I can remember, it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibilities given that Homo Superior flies in the face of what he's believed. And you could make the case that his greatest enemy teaming with a few of them could stoke him into action. Seems a cheap storyline played out like that, but I guess we'll see the bigger deal soon. And on Cap wanting to do more for the mutant community part, I find it interesting in a way with a tie back to history. Thinking back to shortly after the Avengers were formed, the Cap was found. The founding members took a break and Cap was charged to lead a new team. Granted, it consisted of four members, but half of the group were mutants, Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver. Though I don't remember Red Skull hopping in for a fight around that time. As Hope is not a member of this team, keep in mind that this is still the Avengers. The roster tends to change fairly frequently from time to time. Plus, there are probably other plans for her more in the X-Men, I feel. And Havoc as a leader was probably calculated. Good for PR and whatnot, in addition to Cap being on other Avengers groups and spreading time. Plus, he's been proven to lead force, so it's not crazy. .. And at least it wasn't Cyclops.
Okay.
Nice book he wrote to us, but thank you, Rob. Okay. What was that?
The book, goddammit. Book.
And I tweeted out what to ask some people on Twitter what their favorite Halloween slash scary movies were. Classic material replied, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
He is funny.
Yeah.
It's seriously A Nightmare on Elm Street. OG.
So he was the original. Very good choice.
Join us 3000 on first session 9. Watch it by yourself late at night.
That's sitting in my Netflix too. I'm gonna have to check that out.
Yeah, I've never even heard of that one actually.
Yeah, it's a more recent thing.
He said, watch it by yourself late at night.
Oh, shit.
William B. West on Twitter said, Roots.
Oh, shit.
That was pretty good.
Shinobi AFC on Twitter says, Jaws and Seven.
And I never would have thought Seven as a horror movie, though. I thought more suspense.
It's creepy as fuck.
Yeah, that's true. Especially the dude, Sloth?
Oh my god. Disgusting.
Yeah.
Is that Sloth from Hey You Guys?
No, not Goonies Sloth.
No.
You need to
get that red box set quickly.
Yes.
It might be on Netflix, I don't know.
And Lamar Revenger said, seriously, Alien, or everything except Hook with the words Julia Roberts in it. this is what happens when you ask questions on Twitter. You get responses.
Yeah, like, these guys are funny.
Yeah.
They're geniuses.
Mm-hmm. let's see, Shuby2010 on Twitter said, thanks for the shout-out on Bush shows. Listening to Click Nation now. I believe he's referring to the shout-out where he's one of the people that alerted me to DC Nation being dropped two Saturdays ago.
Yeah.
And for the last bit, I've had the email from my arch nemesis, David Mack. Click Nation mail. Where is it? Okay. He says, where's Tim? With four question marks. Oh shit, wrong show. Anyway, hey guys, great show as always. Love the topic. Can't believe nobody got Adam Black's Gomer Powell reference during the Shazam story.
This is all on reference
episode 26, by the way.
Yep.
We heard his ass, we just decided to ignore the fuck out of him.
Hey, that guy may not be too bad, Tim.
Please. Fuck David.
Motherfucker.
On me.
But he says, also,
Wakanda. My boy,
oh, David's my boy. My boy, aka my arch nemesis.
That's funny, we like.
But, so also, was kind of sad there was no appearance by the Bane voice, but I understand that you can't. I understand you can't beat a good thing to the ground too fast.
Yeah.
Right. You know, the Bane voice will come back. Don't worry. I don't. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to like use it every episode. But then y'all be like, I wish this nigga was use his own voice. You know.
Yeah.
Once we get a good good internet connection again, maybe we'll do the Bane voice.
Yeah.
You know what? Next time we all together record a show, I'm Bane voice. You know, I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna do that, guy.
Yeah.
Says thanks, and I look forward to the next show. Dave, aka the Mac 90, aka Tim's arch nemesis.
Yes.
So, thank you, Dave, and thank you for the email.
Wow.
And yeah, that's it for feedback. That's everything. Yep, that was it. So, before we lose the internet connection, let me speed through the ending spiel here. Thanks for listening. I would give lengthy shout outs, but we don't know when our connection will drop again. But check out Cultsplitter Podcast, the Eclectic Discussion Podcast, and our own Click Nation Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. The Undiscreet Fire Crew, General Geekery, or General Geekcast, I believe they call themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Any shout outs, you fellas, I guess?
No. I was surprised. No, we're good. Pretty much all those guys, they're cool guys.
Yeah,
we like
follow us on Twitter. I'm at TimBOGG98. And Black is at, I'll just go ahead and say it for everyone.
Go ahead.
At @B_Adam_Black and @MrBamf, that's MISTABAMF. And our Quick Nation account is @TheQuickNation. Find us on all the social networks except Pinterest. We don't have a Pinterest. Subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher Radio, like I said. Send us feedback to theclicknation@gmail.com. And for Mr. Banff and Adam Black, I'm Tim D-O-double-G. We are the Quick Nation, and we are signing off.
Recording. Oh, well.
Hey.
Oh, now it's recording the new one. Hold up. Hey, Tim.
Oh, hey.
Okay.
Oh, shit.
It's recording.
We got multi-recordings. Oh, fuck.
Well, let me start mine. All right.
Woo.
Yeah, I noticed last time our internet went out, for some reason, rebooting my computer solves it. You know, it takes freaking 10 minutes to do.
Yes.
What subject were we on?
We were on bands.
I'll make you dance.
We were on bands. We'll make her dance. That's what we were talking about.
And the fact that
I just found out today that a band is like $1,000.
Yeah, you put $1,000 on a rubber band, right?
Right. I just learned this shit today because, you know, I've been getting this whack ass song, and I'm thinking, a marching band?
Oh, no. I knew it was money in a, you know, like rubber band man.
Nigga, I'll be 40. Shut up. I don't know nothing about that.
I didn't know the numerical amount of the band, in the bands.
Yeah, my homeboy Chris from Maryland, he told me, he like, we were just talking about it, he was like, dude, a band is $1,000. What? Really?
Man, we're nigga, old.
I like, nigga, I'm almost 40. I don't know nothing about that shit. Kiss my ass.
Kiss my black ass.
Shit, nigga, I don't know.
All right.
We got to keep that in the show somehow. That's like, oh, yeah. Stick it on to the end as a special feature.
Oh yeah. Unless they're sticking at the beginning, like Rod likes to do. I see.
Yeah, I stick like all types of little side bits and comments at the beginning of the shows. Now I try to anyway.
That'd be fun.
I like the music too. You having it?
Oh, thank you.